Let us pray. Almighty God, we are grateful for your love and grace which leads us through our days, and ask in Jesus' name that your Holy Spirit would now come upon us or fill us, Lord, and that you would speak to our hearts, that we would hear your still small voice. And I pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. In your bulletin, there is a sheet for sermon notes, and on the other side is our devotions for the coming week. I want to encourage you to do these devotions, to follow the instructions as you do them. And then I've changed up the sermon notes to, instead of just filling in the blank, what I'm asking you to do is to listen. Is to listen for God's still small voice as I preach, as you hear the word. And ask God to speak to your heart and your mind. Ask God to direct your thoughts. And then number one is, what is the one thing you feel God is speaking to you about? As you go through this worship service, what is it that it is? What is it that God is speaking to you about? Write it down. And it may be one thing, it may be two or three things. Write them down. And then the second question, what does God want you to do with that? What does God want you to do with that? So tell me, who here has played Connect the Dots? Who here has played Connect the Dots at one point in their life? All right, I see that there's a couple of people who haven't. My heart goes out to you. In the children's message, we played Connect the Dots, and there were only 40 dots. And you probably might have been able to guess after just a few dots what the picture was going to turn out to be. But for some of us, you'd need to connect more than just some of the dots before being able to guess what you're drawing. And for most of us, you need a lot of dots to connect, to really know what the picture is. And then, for very few, you need all of the dots connected, and you're still wondering what is going on. Now, this was a fun exercise with the kids, connecting the dots. Doesn't take much time, and there's a sense of completion when you finish your picture. But life isn't always a couple of dots on a paper. Sometimes it's lots and lots and lots of dots. In fact, this one has 534 dots on it. This is one of those more challenging situations. And as you first look at it, it almost looks like a cloud from a distance, but it is, and it looks like a lot of random dots with no rhyme or reason. It simply makes no sense what you're looking at. And even after a few connections, 50 of them to be exact, you're still wondering, what is this and when will it take shape? As you continue, you wonder and you might begin to guess, and all of a sudden as you continue on, you start to get a good idea of what is surfacing. And then with two-thirds of the dots connected, you now have a pretty good idea of what is emerging from the picture. Finally, all the dots are connected, but then do you have all the detail? Then all at once, when everything is filled in, it makes sense. The picture is clear. You wonder why you didn't see it earlier in all of its color, but then hindsight is what?
2020.
But we cannot underestimate the time it takes to get from a page of all dots to a completed picture. When I think of this dot-to-dot picture in terms of our communication with God, the Creator knew at the very outset what we would eventually find. It took me some time to even find the beginning point of all these dots, as it often does, to know when God is trying to speak to us. Even as I struggle to sometimes know what God is trying to say to me or trying to get me to do, God clearly knows what the outcome of our communication will be. And even though it takes me time, if I stay with God in following what he is saying to me, dot by dot by dot by dot, I'll get to the end of what God is trying to accomplish in and through me. Yet it took time for me to know how this picture was going to turn out. And often in communicating with God, it takes me time to know and understand what the full picture is that God wants me to see, or what the full activity is or action is that God wants me to take. And even then, sometimes I still don't see it all. We often see this in the Bible. God calls Moses to set his people free, and Moses really doesn't know what it all entails. That he'd have to go back to Egypt, that he would face Pharaoh 10 times telling him, "Let my people go," and that each time Pharaoh would not submit to God. And through it all, even though Moses didn't see all the dots that were being connected, he did some incredible things. He saw some incredible things. For Abraham, he was supposed to become a great nation, but he had no son. That is, until he was 100 years old. And that was 25 years after God had asked him to become a great nation. We see Peter, a fisherman, who would be changed from catching fish to catching people for God. Paul, trying to destroy Jesus, ends up proclaiming Christ and even dying for him. If we could just see the picture clearly from the outset, we would begin to understand what it is God is trying to do for us, or what it God is trying to do in us. But that's not the way God always works. Sometimes it's step by step by step, creating a beautiful mural out of our lives as we obey God. In this morning's scripture, Jesus' friend Lazarus is not doing well. In fact, he's dying, and his sisters send a message to Jesus telling him, "This is so. Lord, the one you love is sick." And when he heard this, Jesus said to his disciples, "Boys, let's pack up the station wagon and get on over to Bethany." Nope. That's not what Jesus said. And as we have learned from Jesus over the last few weeks, he only does what his heavenly Father tells him to do. He only says what his heavenly Father tells him to say. Not because he's a puppet, but because he knows his Father sees the whole picture. More than what can be seen by earthly eyes, leading us from dot to dot to dot. And although Jesus sees with earthly eyes, He trusts in his Father. His faith is in his Father, and he knows that God has his best in mind. He knows that God is going to do something big if he just follows the dots. No, Jesus' response didn't have anything to do with the station wagon. Read it with me. "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." You see, as Jesus sees it, the ultimate outcome is the glorification of whom? God. And God is going to then glorify whom? Jesus. Jesus will then be glorified through his obedience to God. And if we put this into a timeline, this event happens just days before Jesus comes to Jerusalem, riding on a donkey, just days before he is crucified, dead, and buried. All for love. All for love. Do you think in terms of glorifying God as you go through each day? Do you think in terms of glorifying God each day of your life? God, how can I glorify you today? God, what is it that you want to do in me today? And sometimes it gets down to, Lord, what do you want me to do for you in this hour or in this situation? As we go through life, situations rise up in our lives, and we need to ask God, what is it, how is it, Lord, that you want me to handle this so that you would be glorified? Do you think in terms of glorifying God? Because I know the Holy Spirit speaks to you daily as you live life on how, as you live life on how you can glorify God, the Holy Spirit is there to give you the things that you need to do, to give you the things that you need to say, to give you the things that you need to think about. Are you hearing the Holy Spirit? It's in these moments when God whispers in your ear, "Slow down, my child. Listen to me." Maybe you need to see how you can pray for this person. Maybe you can pray for them right now. Maybe let them know that they're loved, and let them know that they're loved by me. Let them know that they're forgiven, that they're forgiven by me. Maybe in a situation it's you that needs to ask for forgiveness. And in doing these things and in taking so many other godly actions, you will glorify God, your Heavenly Father. When Jesus finally gets to Bethany, Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. 4 days. And his sister Martha says, "If you had only been here sooner, my brother would not have died." Then she says this to Jesus. Read it with me. "But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." What a statement of faith. Faith based on experience and trust that if he just asks his Father in heaven, he will receive whatever he asks. I wonder sometimes, as we live out our days, do we really believe that this is applicable to our lives? Can we trust God so far as to say, "God, I know," or "Jesus," or "Holy Spirit, I know that whatever I ask, you can deliver"? Do you believe that? Do you trust God can deliver? Jesus tells her Lazarus will rise again, and she knows he will. She says, "On the last day," or "on the resurrection day." And then we wait. Shh. Here it comes. Jesus says it. He affirms who he is. Read it with me. This is really important stuff. "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." Do you believe this? Bam! Believe in me and never what? Die. We could stop right here and say, "Pastor, we're done. We've heard what we needed to hear this morning. Man, I am on cloud nine." Or, "I am flying with the Holy Spirit." You see, Jesus is claiming to be the one, the Messiah. We need read nothing else except stand with Martha. We need to say this with Martha. Say it with me. "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God who has come into the world." No, say it for yourself. "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God who has come into the world." I believe with these words we are done. Martha has heard these words and without a second thought believes them to be true. And in doing this, both God and Father, God the Father and Jesus the Son have been glorified. End of story. The dots have all been connected. The picture has been colored and we are finished. I think as God sees it, all that has been said has glorified God. Jesus has been proclaimed and also been believed, but more than that, this has been written down in the Bible, right here, the words. And through the century, this story has been read millions, if not billions of time and been told to people who have then glorified their God in heaven, believing in Jesus. And just to confirm that He is Jesus and that the power of God, the Holy Spirit, is available to Him, Jesus goes on to raise Lazarus from the dead after 4 days. 4 days, glorifying His Father in heaven and His Father glorifying Him. One of the areas in this study we've been going through, experiencing God, Henry Blackaby has this experience. He says, a church I pastored began to sense God leading us to an outreach ministry to a university campus. Neither he nor the church had ever done student ministry before. And so he sent out some students and said, let's just do some Bible studies in the dormitories. And now he doesn't say how he did it. Did he stick up a sign-up sheet? Please sign up if you want to do a Bible study. Or did the kids just find a spot in the dorm and say, we're going to do a Bible study, and they did a Bible study. After a year, they tried to start a Bible study, and nothing seemed to work. One Sunday, Henry pulls the students together and says, this week I want you to go to the campus to see where God is working, to see where God is working and join Him. They said, what do you mean? And he says, this week there's a couple of scriptures that really have been impressed upon my heart. One is, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. Well, that's pretty condemning, isn't it? But pretty true. The second scripture was, no one can come to me, Jesus, unless the Father who sent me draws him. No one can come to me, Jesus, unless the Father who sent me draws them. So he goes on to say, according to these passages, people don't seek God on their own initiative. They won't ask about spiritual matters unless God or the Holy Spirit is working in their lives. When you encounter someone who is seeking God or asking about spiritual matters, you are seeing God at work. If someone asks about spiritual things, you're seeing God at work. So he goes on to tell the students, if someone asks you spiritual questions, whatever you have in your schedule, cancel your plans. Go with that individual and look to see what God is doing in that person's life. He said that week the students went out to see where God was at work on their campus and to join Him. On Wednesday, one of the young ladies reported back, Pastor, a girl who has been in classes with me for almost 2 years came to me today. She said, ready? I think you might be a Christian. I need to talk to you. She goes on to say to Henry, I remembered what you said. I had a class at the time, but I skipped it. I went to the cafeteria where she went, and she said, 11 of us girls have been studying the Bible, and none of us are Christians. Do you know somebody who could help us study the Bible? As a result of that contact, they started 3 Bible studies in the women's dorm and 2 in the men's dorm. And I remember reading somewhere else, at the end of a year, they had over 200 kids. 200 kids in Bible study. The bottom line, our lives, is that we should be glorifying God. God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. How do we do this? How do we glorify God in our lives? Henry Blackaby suggests that too many Christians today want to do things for God and then ask God to bless them as they do those things, as opposed to asking God where He's working in the world and joining God. Does that make sense? We say, God, I'm going to do this in Your name, bless it. And yet God may have something over here that He wants us to do, that we might glorify God, that God might be blessing us. So instead of saying, God, what is it that you want me to do for you, or in today's story with Jesus, I think the question is, Lord, how can I glorify you today? What is the next dot that you're going to take me to in this dot-to-dot of life that we live in? I mean, you can look at some of the dots in your history, and maybe they form some pretty crazy things, and the colors we use would be maybe darker than what we would want. But God is taking you to another place still. How's it go? God's not finished with me yet. So connect the dots. See how you can bring glory to God every day in your life. Listen to the Holy Spirit, because he whispers in our ear, because he says to us, my child, I love you. So let's go and do whatever he's leading you to do. Can you live with that? Can you live without knowing, I mean, all you type A's, can you live without knowing where you're going to end up? It's a crazy ride, but it's wonderful. Invite the Holy Spirit in to be your guide in helping you to glorify God in your life. Let us pray. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you and praise you that you do love us, and that you continue to draw us to yourself. And in this moment, Lord, we come to you now and ask that you would draw us closer to yourself, that your Holy Spirit would guide us and direct us. Lord, that you would call us by name to join in the work that you are doing somewhere in our lives. Lord, we ask that you would just help us to know your presence. We ask in Jesus' name.